From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're going to get to the end of this NBA bubble 2020 as the NBA Finals is going to wrap up this week. Lakers and the Heat, as we aired this episode, Lakers with a 3-1 series lead. I think they're going to close it out, regardless if it's in 5, regardless if it's in 6, regardless if it's in 7. I think the Lakers are going to win the 2020 NBA championship. That is my thoughts. Maybe when we revisit this in a future episode, we'll see if we were accurate on that, or if I was right on that prediction, or other stakeholders who and other fans who believe the Miami Heat had a run in them, which they had a serious run in this bubble. I mean, getting through the teams, Indiana, getting through the Bucks, Celtics. So they had a fantastic run. But I just think it all comes to a halt versus the Lakers. The Lakers, when they're getting the bench performance like they did in Game 4, they're pretty much damn near hard to stop. Matter of fact, there's only really one team, I believe, toe-to-toe, when engaged, can go up against the Lakers, and that is the Los Angeles Clippers. However, we already know they got eliminated by the Denver Nuggets. I think that's the only roster in the West that could really compete with the Lakers. And when the Lakers are clicking and you got Rondo playing very well, like he normally does in the playoffs, they're a tough stop because he's going to give them – he's going to run the point, the general stuff, get is set up easy shots for Laker players all over the place. And Contavious Caldwell-Pope was a key factor, was those key threes in the second half, man. So really hard to stop. You know LeBron's going to get his. You know Anthony Davis. From time to time, he'll have a quiet 20-10, but then he'll have a nice 28, 29-point performance with double-digit rebounds. We all know LeBron makes this thing go. It matters whether these guys show up or not. You know, that's where it comes down to it. As far as the Heat, man, there's possessions out there. I believe when the game was close, the last game, and they kind of allowed things to slip away. Terrible turnovers, fast break points, and there was a couple of missed threes, as many threes as they made, but when it was time to stop the bleed in the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler in particular missing key corner three-pointers, which I think gave the Lakers a little bit of separation, and they went on to win Game 4 right now at 3-1. Dom, what's going on, man, as far as the rest of the series? How do you think this is going to go? You think the Heat's going to come back? What's your thoughts, Dom? How's everything, man?
Good evening. Good evening, Stephen. I'm having an electronic nightmare today.
I normally do, Steve.
Like, I'm surprised you wanted to do the podcast at this time because the Yankees are on. So I brought my iPad outside with me because I always come outside. And for some reason, Spectrum is slow. And
I'm not, yeah, dumb. Yeah, I think we're going to talk sports no matter what. Sometimes we got to make adjustments. Yeah. Sometimes we're going to talk sports. We're going to adjust for the time. We know this is the time of year. Normally it would be the postseason baseball anyway, but because of circumstances and all kind of things going on with sports, you know, we kind of adjusted the time for the basketball. But yeah, you're saying that it's over for the Miami.
Yeah.
What is Miami not doing in Europe?
I think at the end of the day, Steve, first of all, missing, you remember the last time we had this call and the professor was on with us and I was saying Dragic is going to be he's hurt. Bam was hurt, trying to play hurt. They would have had a hard enough time, Steve, on a good day to keep up. Let's just be honest, no matter who you're pulling for, you know, they would have had a hard enough time with everybody being healthy. So now you got these guys. And you know what? Maybe that wall is starting to hit Hero and Robinson, and But you know what, Steve? You gotta give them credit. I just think right now they're totally outmatched. And you're right. I heard what you said when you first started it. The Laker bench is starting to play. So that being said, and again, Steve, they haven't been a great perimeter shooting team. So if they even hit 30% of their perimeter shots, that makes it even harder for Miami. So, and you know what? They had a good run, Steve. You know, I hope they would at least win one more, let it make it go six. But for all intents and purposes, Steve, they should just, you know, I'm not saying lose, but if they do lose, this nightmare of a season will come to an end, and we can move on to start thinking about next year, if there'll be a next year, when there'll be a next year, and you know, try to get back to some sense of normalcy with the NBA. Because from what I gather, Steve, I don't think they want to even try to come back till like January. So that's a tough sell in itself. But we'll see.
I mean,
I think they're done, Steve. Good run, great run, actually. Five seed, great run. But I think the
that is a good point you said about. That is a good point you did say. That is probably what they're missing, Miami, with Dragic. Because I think that guy that could get to the lane and get his own shot, where there, it's like that's the offset. The only difference in the stats between the two teams that's like a difference is the assists. And the Lakers are getting more assists on baskets. And I don't think – I think the Lakers, because the degree of – shot making, as far as they get easier shots, I think, because Rondo helps set up a lot of that, and LeBron, you got literally two point guards on the floor, where the Heat, you know, they're a conventional half court team, but if you don't have a Dragic and none's not going to give you anything, man, I mean, that's where that kind of that difference, I believe, because yeah, the Heat's been getting contribution for a lot of guys, but we said, you know, there's no secret with this Laker team, it's really all about LeBron, Davis, and whoever contributes after that, and if they get the contributions, they're going to win. But yeah, the Heat, I think that's the factor, man. They're not playing with their full lineup. Not to say Gordon Dragic is going to the Hall of Fame or anything, none of that. All I'm saying is I think it could help them on a couple of possessions each game, which that game that kind of got away late in game four, who knows where it had been had a Dragic been in that game, you know? But without saying, I mean, they've done the job without those guys, but I just think it's a tall order to do it night after night for, you know, four quarters a game. I think the Lakers smell blood. Like, I think LeBron knows it. Let me ask you this, Dom, because I think, you know, this is more about LeBron than anything, more than the Heat, the Lakers. I always thought if LeBron won it, or actually if he has swept the Heat, now we're talking, okay, I put him at number two all time, probably, you know, depending on your age, you know, the older generation, like you may go to a Bill Russell. As far as top players all time, Jordan is my number one. And I've seen him just like you've seen him. I'll probably put LeBron at number two. It would have been a lot closer to had he swept the Heat, like in dominant fashion. Now, that's one thing LeBron could have said that Michael could never have said, even though Michael went 6-for-6 in the finals, you know. LeBron sweeping a team in the finals, you know, that's a big deal, especially these circumstances, but he did not do that. But let's say LeBron wins the championship. Where do you see him as far as, you know, your top five, top 10 legacy?
Yeah, I think he's definitely top three. I still, Steve, have Mike number one. And number two, I mean, like you said, Steve, generations, you know, we always seem to skim over Wilt, Kareem, mm-hmm. Wilt because of
Kareem,
the lack of championships. Kareem, who has rings, has the points, had the longevity, the rebounding. We tend to, and again, Steve, it's because of the world we live in, the era we live in now with social media, everything is, you know, here and now. But I would definitely have him in the top three. I'm not saying he's number two. Jordan's number one. But when you start talking about that 2 and 3, Steve, depending on what you're looking at, like what is Kareem? Kareem got what, 5 rings? I think. Maybe 5 rings?
He's got 6.
Yeah, or 6.
The Bucks, the Lakers.
His points. And again, Steve, even going back to where I always get lost with this now generation when they say, well, you know, Steve Azul was the first 19-year-old to, well, you know, again, 19-year-olds weren't coming out in the NBA like that back then. So you got to take for what Kareem did, Steve, and he went to college for 4 years. So he didn't come to the pros till he was 21, 22 years old. And to set the record he set, win the rings he won, you know, it's kind of hard to overlook that. I know they do now because of the world we live in, Steve. But that to me gets a little annoying. You know, well, Steve Azul is the first 19-year-old to score. Well, you know what? That's kind of a weird take, because imagine Jerry West being 19. Oscar Robinson being 19. You know, we tend to skim over that, but, you know, I know it is what it is. I don't even know, Steve. I don't know if I would have put him on a different plateau if they swept Miami. To be honest, I mean, yes, Jordan never swept in the finals. I get that. That's a great point. But I don't think that's a game changer for me. Because, again, still lost 6 times.
I get it. That's the funny thing about this. That's the funny thing about this, because the younger generation, shout out to the younger generation who follow basketball. I have these debates with them online, offline, whatever. Their thoughts is he went to all these number of finals where I'm like, where did he win it? But they're looking at it, the accomplishment of just like that participation trophy of it. I don't look at it like that as in depth like they do. But yeah, I thought had he swept. Now, of course, I would just say he's not. I don't think he's ever going to pass Jordan in my book, in my lifetime. As far as he could win the next 4 or 5 rings, you know. But that there's a testament to his longevity. I think that's another fantastic feat. Like the way he's kept up his body. I mean, he's a professional. But we know, man. We know how guys and dudes age, and He stood the test of time, like Kareem had when he played for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Dom, as far as Kareem. Kareem's not, he's like my top three. See, the way I looked at Kareem, though, differently is I always thought he was the best basketball player of all time in the sense of high school basketball, definitely. Him coming out of Manhattan, definitely. And when he went to UCLA, to your point, college championship, he's won at every level. Like Jordan has, but I think Kareem's won more, if you include college, especially high school. If you look at pure, like, every level of basketball, I always say Kareem. But if you're just talking straight NBA, I say Jordan. That's how I kind of differentiate the who's and what's. But as far as LeBron, you know, the fact that he's a big guy who could pass as great as he can, I mean, he's one of the best passers in the league's history, too. You know, triple-double machine. The only flaw really necessarily in this game is pretty much the outside shooting. No play is perfect. But, I mean, if he's like a marksman of a shooter, like, I mean, he can knock down a J. Don't get it twisted. But, I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not a Kobe, a Jordan, like, consistently as far as perimeter shooting. Because he's so big, he can get to the lane whenever he wants. You know, if he shot more like 87% from the free throw line for his career, he'd be a who knows? You know, that I think that's a huge kink in his armor. But outside of that, he's still a fantastic player. But Dom, I think the NBA, bigger picture, I think they did a good job with this bubble. I think they've had a little issues in the beginning with guys leaving in and out of the bubble. It got better as time went along. I thought it was kind of shaky at first compared to, let's say, the NHL. A little bit better than baseball. Baseball doing this, you know, everybody goes to their home stadiums. But I thought NBA, they did as best a job as they could. They did the virtual fans in the background. We talked about all this. You know, I think the NBA could pat themselves on the back, even though the ratings don't show that, you know, they went tremendously down. But, you know, I love sports. I love basketball. I thought they did a good job or best of job for the product. There's been some great games in the NBA. I mean, we might have to come back the next time we're on the top five games in the NBA bubble, whether it was the regular season or the playoffs. And you know, a lot of those games are going to be that Utah Denver game.
It probably yeah, I was like going to say Denver's probably in four of them. Wow, you're right, right, Steve. You're right. But you know what the sad thing is? And I think people are looking at the bubble. But I was doing research, Steve, and in the last 8 years, the NBA ratings have declined 33% to 44% between the networks. Like you take, I think me and you had this conversation. You take TNT, and NBA TV, the channel, not the league pass, just the channel, NBA TV and TNT. Mm-hmm. Their ratings have dipped 44%, and I think ESPN's have been dipping 38% on a steady decline over the last 8 to 10 years. And then you get this finals, and their first two games set records for lowest. The matter of fact, game two set the lowest rating, and it just happened the game before that in game one. So I look at it, it's weird, Steve, because I had a conversation with another sports junkie, and he said, Dom, do you think people are just tired of seeing LeBron in the finals? I'm like,
no.
That's a weird take, but maybe, I don't know, because the ratings have dipped over the last eight to 10 years, and he's been in the finals almost every one of them years. Are people just, you know, I want to see something new. I want to see something. Because look at what we saw for the last 8 years, Steve. Golden State dominate. The ass end of San Antonio, Miami. So it was like a two or three trick pony for like 8 to 10 years. Then you had Cleveland with their, you know, one chip. But it was always Cleveland going to the finals. So, you know, do people mm-hmm. want to see something different, Steve? I do. I know that. Because I'm a Knicks fan.
I don't know. That's a good question. Why are they down? You know, yeah. I thought the NBA, they did it to the NBA finals. I think they did it in the conference finals a little bit too. They put some of the games on ABC, which when you put games on the major networks like your CBSs, your Foxes, NBCs, you know, when you do that, your ratings are going to go up automatically versus when you put them on ESPN, TNT, because the everyday person and the person who doesn't necessarily watch TV can always pull up ABC. They should have been doing that from the jump if they really wanted to get the ratings to go up, because a lot of people are turned off by the ESPN. A lot of people, you know, TNT, the core cutters. I mean, a lot of it has to do with that. The reason why football is probably going to always have a better rating is because it's easily accessible. It's always on Fox. It's always on CBS. It's always on a channel where you can just pull up an antenna, and it's right there. Versus,
right.
You know, you need a cable package to get TNT or NBA TV. Sometimes the NBA, right. They make it a little too hard. And then some of the games, right. Now, let's say look at the LA games. That a lot of the LA games, this is a contributive factor. Like the LA teams, when they play, and I'm looking at the time, it'd be like 6 o'clock, and like that's 3 o'clock
right.
on the West Coast. Like, like a lot of those people.
Now taking,
who knows? I mean, whether they're
now taking mm-hmm. all that into consideration, Steve, taking all of that into consideration, we're talking this year, and like I said, if you do the research. Sorry, I had to close my outside. When you look at the research, Steve, it's been going on before the bubble.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
just me, Steve, as a fan, the NFL is hard to measure, Steve, because one, like you said, they're easily accessible, and they only play 1 or 2 days a week. So, you know, you could basically
yeah.
set your life around the NFL. I mean, be honest, you could set
right,
your
right.
life around the NFL.
That is true.
With basketball.
And
baseball,
there's one other factor.
What's
There's
that?
One huge factor
yeah.
with the NFL. They have over all the sports. All the sports do it, but the NFL does it the best, and that's the fantasy sports. It's something you don't like. You don't like fantasy.
Fantasy no.
football is a huge business. It's like a $5 billion business, I heard on Forbes. You know? So
Ooh.
People who don't have a team or people who have a team that stinks, like my team, the Giants, or your team, just both teams stink, we can still watch football because we have a fed it. We actually have an economic interest to a degree. Some people actually gamble fantasy football. They will put up a couple hundred and flip it into a thousand because they got day, you know, day fantasy games. You got fantasy football leagues. Like, they do it the best because it's the way it's set up. You got one game a week. Like you said, you can base your entire schedule over one. You know the games are on Sunday, constant. It's easy to find. Most people are not probably at work if they have to go to work, where the NBA – games are all over the place, man. In the bubble, man, there were games all night, 1 o'clock in the day. Like the MLB, man, like games today at 2 o'clock. Like a lot of people just don't have, can't jump in front of a TV like that. Yeah, the NFL has that advantage, Dom, one day a week. Absolutely.
And remember when they first went to the bubble, Steve, and me and you was talking, I said, man, this might help the NBA. Because at that time, basically everybody wasn't back to work, Steve. You know, most people were still home or working from home. So you could have your TV on peeking at the game. I know because my son did it. You know, he was working from home. He said, you know, I wouldn't be watching the game, Dad, but I would have the game on. You know, I put it on low. I could hear it. I could peek at it. So I thought that would be kind of like a good thing. And you drew the youth back in because now you got games on during the day. They're home. We're during the summer break. They're home. You know, now we finally get our youth back into it where they don't got to stay up till midnight to watch a basketball game. They can throw it on there 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought that would help. But it didn't. The funny thing is, Steve, when you look at everything, as everybody would say, all that's going on in the country with the discontent with this and that, the NFL was supposed to be the ones that took the hit with the ratings. And it didn't seem to work out that way. And I'm not a big NFL fan, Steve. I like the NFL. I follow the Jets and the Giants. That's about it. And Cam Newton. But other than that, I'm not like a big NFL junkie. Though I was, not to get off topic, but I was perplexed this weekend. Steve, I'm watching what's going on. I'm like, man, if the Giants could sneak out a win, their only win, they'll be tied for first place. That's insane. And then I looked, I was watching Red Zone, and they ended up losing. I was like, damn, they all could have been tied for first place, Steve. You know, we could call it whack, shitty division, whatever. But, you know, there is some intrigue to this nonsense. Somebody might go 6-10 and make the playoffs. I mean, I guess nobody's out of it. That's what I'm getting at. So, yeah, it's weird. But remember, Steve, the NFL was supposed to take the hit economically. And it really hasn't worked out that way.
They all did.
Yeah.
Well, every league did. Fans can't go to the games.
Right. That part, yeah, Steve. But I'm talking about, like, ratings. I think, and you would probably know better than me, the NFL probably has the loyalest fans. There's just something. Because I look at you with your videos and your Giants and your – I'm like, see, this is what NFL fans are. NFL fans are like, I'm not saying they are, Steve. I am a baseball fan. But there's just something about a football fan, man. There's just something different.
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is, man? I thought about this, too. I'm glad you said this. Like you said, you could play a weekend or your schedule around an NFL game, like, because it's one day a week. I think I told Ab this on a previous podcast in a while back. Listen, if the NBA, I said it on here about a month ago, maybe two. If the Knicks or the NBA played in the summertime, like, you know, like during the same time the WNBA is, around that same time, and they have, you know, meaningful games that have meaning, it may not be as popular as the NFL, but I think you could really make an event out of it. But they obviously, you already know, Don, like the NHL, they play 82 games. That's a lot of games, and they play their games in the winter. So people aren't just not coming out in New York City in the snow. It's just not happening. That's just not. It don't work like that. You know, you're gonna get sick. football is at the right time. It's right in the fall. For the most of the games are before Christmas. So it's relatively warm, and you definitely could do different, you know, versatility as far as, you know, watching it with friends, family, whatever. NBA, NHL, they just have too many games. ML, now, if you look at baseball, now, the thing with them, I mean, we already know, they play 162 games, so they're in the same boat as far as number of games. Like, you can go in a game anytime. The tickets got, you've been watching Yankees for as long as you can remember, the tickets have gone up on there too, man. Or actually, they've gone up across the board on all the sports, but. Because, the TV money, and it translates to TV money, and now it translates to the contract. So, the NFL setup is just different, and it's fan-friendly. And then you add in the fantasy football.
Can I ask you a question, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
How was your trip to L.A. without seeing the game? I assume you went, or you had this schedule before they weren't letting fans in, huh?
No, I mean, that ain't nothing new. I'm always on the go. I'm always out of in and out. But
no, I'm saying,
see, what you don't see is, like, I have family and friends as well out there. So I'm always kicking it with them, and that's not broadcasted, like, if I'm rocking with the fans, So just because I'm on the scene with, with fans, there's a lot you're not seeing with family and friends as well, like when I'm in different places or whatever. So like here in Jersey, Like I'm just in and out, doing the errands and all this other stuff. But I don't even go back into Manhattan. I don't want to get into the politics, dog. I'm trying to stay off the politics right now. It's crazy over there.
One day we got to call each other on regular phones and talk about that. Because that's weird. Yeah, I know what you mean. But that must be nice, DC. Those are the things I didn't know. So basically, again, not to get off topic, but when you go to these different places, you actually have another plan outside of just sports.
I didn't know that, Steve.
I thought it was just a Giants thing and...
It's not just that. I'm just saying that, like, because people think it's just that, and it's not just that, because it's almost like how we kind of like, I don't want to get into the politics. I'm almost about to go there again. They only allow you to see what you want them to see. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't broadcast everything. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy. It's crazy in the city. That breaks my heart too, because I would be out at Madison Square Garden if the games were at Madison Square Garden, or if they had Rangers games at the Garden. They chose to have them in Toronto. I can't even get to Canada right now. Nobody can right now.
No,
you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this last year. Shit. They had the games in Vegas, I would go. You know that. With the Summer League. We talked about this. Now, you weren't big on it, but some Knicks fans are big of going out there on, even if it is, first and second year players. But the Florida bubble, if they allowed fans, I would definitely go to Florida or Orlando for that. Absolutely.
I would have, Steve, because my son lives there. I could have killed two birds with one stone. See, you're doing the stuff I should be doing. I'm retired, don't have no job, don't need no job. That, every time I see you doing this shit, Steve, I'd be like, damn, why don't I call Steve and say, hey, Steve, I'll meet you at, let's just hang out. But you can't even do
when,
that.
When the Knicks go to Vegas, we're going to plan an event with the show, man. We're going to do that, man. Because that was the plan this year, actually. That was one of the plans.
You flew to California, didn't you, Steve?
No, Dom, I walked. Of course I flew.
No, what I'm getting at is, I was going to ask you, how was that, Steve? How was the flying? And I assume everybody had to have a mask.
It's fine. It's actually better. There ain't as many people now. It's cool. No problem.
That's what I was saying.
It's actually smoothing. It's actually smooth. But Don, we're about to get off. Give us some final thoughts, because we're running out of time and we got a game to watch.
Yeah, I'm actually watching it now. Steve, I hope Miami at least hangs in for one more game. If not, I can't knock their hustle, Steve. They had a great season, and they could only get better, Steve. Again, we've had that conversation. With all that good young talent they have, they'll only get better. So teams in the East, like Philly, Indiana, Toronto, Miami's going to be breathing down their necks, Steve. This isn't a one-and-done thing with Miami. We know that. They have a great culture, a great winning attitude. So we'll see them again. Maybe not in the championship next year, but they're not going away, Steve. I'm happy for them. They had a great year, and let's see what goes on from here out.
Let's see, man. We should be watching the Lakers parade sometime next week on Zoom. shout out to Dom, and we'll be out, man. Enjoy the games, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the college football, pro football, and all that. Sangresu, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.